Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting for Monday the 16th of December 2019. Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it is Council policy to record Council meetings in accordance with Council's digital recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the meeting. Item 1.0 is apologies, as we have a full complement of councillors. There are no apologies. Item 2.0 is declarations of interest. Can I ask if there are any declarations of interest in any item on the open agenda, please?
Yes, you do, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Murphy.
Item 5.2.
Thank you very much. No others? Thank you. Item 3.1 is... All good. Item 3.1 is confirmation of minutes 3.1.1 of the Council meeting of 25th of November. Do I have a mover of that recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry.
Second.
Councillor Milbourne, I heard. Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Nothing to add. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1 is responses to questions raised at prior meetings. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
You do, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Laycock. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Councillor Milbourne, thank you. Councillor Laycock?
Nothing to add, Mayor. The responses are all there in writing.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne?
Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.2 is questions on notice from the public. Do I have a mover of that recommendation,
please? So
moved. Councillor Perry, do I have a seconder? Councillor Hollister, Councillor Perry.
Merely procedural, thank you, Mayor, nothing further.
Thank you, Councillor Hollister. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2.3 is questions without notice from the public, and I remind anyone who might have a question that you have a period of 3 minutes to ask two questions.
Right, before we start, I'd like to wish everyone in this room Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we'll be back again. Right, Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. Dear Chairperson, I would wish to submit this multiple question. You recently completed the Adelaide Street upgrade. How long has this job been on the Council's work schedule? What was the final cost of the project, and why have the raised bitumen sections been put in place at either end of the street? These are not on any other street entrances around Devonport. Next question. I received your response to question one at last month's meeting on Monday the 25th of November. You stated in your reply that the mowing at 33 Downer Drive is scheduled to be completed on Friday the 6th. Why was the job not completed until the 13th of December, did you have a stuff up with the dates? Is it little wonder that the ratepayers at Devonport don't ask to get things done when you have blunders like this happening?
I'll take that as comment.
That's right, Kate.
Thank you.
Will we managers have to place a greater emphasis on getting the job completed as stated by the Acting General Manager? On time.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Right, thank you. Be back.
Chris Mills, 52 Caroline Street. Mayor, with your permission, I have three brief questions.
I have two for you at this point, Mr. Mills.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm referring to the removal of almost half of 24 mature trees that stabilise a hazardous landslip zone at 54 Caroline Street next to my home. This front row of trees along the top of a steep slope were removed at short notice by Council on the 5th of November. I have a letter from Mr. Paul West, dated 28th of August 2017, that states, quote, "Council are aware that the removal of these trees may cause some destabilisation of the land." I have one question about that, is as the General Manager was well aware that the removal of this row of trees may trigger landslip and put adjacent homes at risk of structural damage, did a suitably qualified person conduct a geological soil analysis to determine the increased risks of erosion by heavy rainfall runoff before this row of mature trees was removed? And question two, lot three of the Mersey View Court development, which overlooks the landslip zone, has been artificially elevated by the owner. Did the Parks and Reserves team take into account the effect of intense rain runoff from the northern end of the artificially elevated lot three before they removed the front row of mature trees that were stabilising the landslip zone?
Thank you. Mr. Atkins has responded to those questions.
Mayor,
thank you.
Look, we've got a number of letters from Mr. Mills in regard to this matter. Most recently, he made a formal complaint about the actions that Council's taken, and I'm currently investigating that.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I missed all that. I guess it'll be in the minutes.
Yes.
But I did have a third question that sort of really tied all that together.
If we have time, we'll come
back to
it.
Thank you, Mayor Rockcliffe. My name is Douglas Janney, 23 Watkinson Street, Devonport. Tonight's agenda and the November agenda have an error in section 6.3. There was and is no general manager at the date of these agendas. Okay, question one. What is the council doing to ensure there is nothing in front, before I start, at the southeast corner of the Parran Apple Centre in the laneway, there is some shopping trolleys there in front of the fire hydrant booster doors, in addition to making access to the hydrant doors slower, it is not a good look. As well, there is supposed to be 24/7 security surveillance, according to a plaque there. So what is the council doing to ensure there is nothing in front of the fire hydrant booster doors from now on?
We'll take that on notice, Mr. Chairman.
We'll
thank you.
Get on to it with grease lightning.
Absolutely.
Since September 2019, the council has been the owner of what was a derelict former library building that was empty for 12 months. What is the maintenance plan for the council's new asset, particularly the building facade, which is in need of attention?
Yes, through you, Mayor. Look, council's entered into a lease now for that property. The maintenance requirements are, I guess, part of that lease. The day-to-day internal maintenance is being done by their tenant. Council's responsible for the sort of the base build maintenance, if you like. At this stage, there's no plans for any major capital upgrade or improvements to the building. It's the tenant will be occupying it, and we understand starting to operate a school out of that building from January next year.
Understand that, but the facade needs some attention, and that's the council's job. It's their asset.
Thank you.
Doug's on about. Malcolm Gardam, 4 Beaumont Drive, Mindetta. At the annual general meeting, I attempted to ask a question too in relation to the Providore Place initial head lease agreement, but was interrupted partway through by the Mayor, and without hearing the question, ruled that it not be accepted unless put in writing. Having since put that question in writing to the Mayor and Councillors, I will again endeavour to present the question. But firstly, to put it into proper context, according to Council, the initial head lease agreement for Providore Place was one of only two significant Living City contracts that legal advice was not sought on prior to entering the agreements. Therefore, the importance of this question as to which person or persons made that decision for Council at the time. In other words, was a decision of the then General Manager on recommendation from the Deputy General Manager, the Mayor, Executive Management Group, or all councillors in meeting. My question was, thanks to the report of the Auditor General's report, number 1 of 2019-20, much has now been exposed, but not all, in relation to what has proven to be a grossly deficient head lease agreement entered into by Council in the full knowledge, among other matters, that the lease was primarily drafted by Projects and Infrastructure, whose key operatives were owners and directors of Providore Place, Devonport Proprietary Limited, the head lessee. A number of standard conditions were missing from the document, and Council had not engaged any independent legal advice on what should have been a relatively complex document if it was to adequately protect the best interests of the ratepayers. Accordingly, my question, who, be that one or more than one person, determined on behalf of Council not to engage independent legal advice prior to entering the initial head lease agreement for the food pavilion?
Mr. Garland,
yes.
The Deputy General Manager wrote that report. The General Manager signed off on that agenda for that particular meeting, and the Council of the day accepted the recommendation and voted to accept that recommendation at that time.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That's clear. Thank you, Mayor. Quick question too. Will Council please indicate which subsection or sections of Section 76 of the Local Government Act, which is the writing off of bad debts, Council relied upon to justify waiving of the sum $163,000 of previously unpaid rent owed by Providore Place Denver Proprietary Limited, around September 2018, as since reported and confirmed by Council as having occurred?
Given that I don't know the Local Government Act word for word, Mr. Gardam, I will take that on notice.
It was spelled out at the last meeting by Mr. Vellacott. The thing is, you either
you
rely on
that
they can't pay it, or you've got no hope it's going to cost you more to get it.
This isn't a debate, Mr. Gardam. No. I'll take that question on notice. Thank you.
I'd suggest a reason.
Thank you, Mr. Gardam.
I have a third question, time permitting. Thank you.
I have absolutely no doubt that you do.
Peter Stegman, 118 River Road, East Devonport. At the last annual general meeting last week, I had a motion to put up to the council, but Mayor, you decided to take questions first and said you'd take motions next, and that opportunity didn't arise for me to put this motion. So you closed the meeting prematurely for some reason that I'm not aware of, and a few others are unsure of too. So I'll put the question as a question instead of a motion that I was going to hope that the people that were here would be able to vote on, I will put a question to the council and ask them whether you will consider doing this. The first thing is to prepare a draft and implement a commercial lease policy. Two, prepare a non-commercial, in confidence, lease register detailing. Firstly, the location of premises owned by council. Secondly, the area leased. Thirdly, the rental amount, the rent per square metre let, costs, if any, for fit out, and whether these are recoverable over the term of the lease. And lastly, the date and the amount of the last market valuation and market rental for the premises.
Thank you. I'll take that on notice, Mr. Stegman. And I might just add that the annual general meeting agenda was out several weeks before the note of the meeting, and everyone had the opportunity to put a notice, as Mr. Vellacott did, put a motion in writing, which would have avoided the issue that you've raised.
Well, I was under the understanding that you could bring up a motion at the meeting.
That's at the discretion of the chair.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The second question I have is, to date, a disproportionate amount of money has been allocated to develop West Devonport. What plans does the council have to rejuvenate East Devonport, where the tourists arrive and depart?
Thank you, Mr. Stegman.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, council was successful in getting a $3 million grant commitment from the federal government to upgrade the entrance from into the ferry terminal, and we're currently working with consultants around doing a design for that, and there has been some delays to that project while we wait on the outcome of any impact of the new spirits and what that might do to the berthing arrangements, but we're working through with consultants at the moment to start that project, and there is a $3 million commitment from the federal government to do some work.
Is that the limit of your progress at the moment, because there's more to East Devonport than that little area? It's the whole area where the tourists drive in and out this time of the year in broad daylight in the morning and at night, and there's a lot could be done to try and improve that area to make it look as though it's not a poor man's backyard.
Yeah, now through you, Mayor. Look, that's the most significant project that Council's got planned in East Devonport, and it includes improving the aesthetics of the entry. But there is a number of other jobs in our capital works program that relate to East Devonport.
And certainly I might just add that we have spent considerable amount near Melrose, at the end of Melrose Street, where we've got new toilet block, new playground, new fitness equipment, access to the beach, all of those things. And I know that a lot of people who are waiting to access the spirit use that area as a rest area. So, and it's more about, as much about the community as the visitors for me. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Jenny Clare, our ratepayer of Devonport, and the address is written down. I have a question here, and it's got 14 points on it about the playground, the toilet block, and the barbecue area, and it might take a little bit too long to read them all. So I just would like to ask if that can just be included in the minutes without me reading them, or I could read them. I'm just looking at the time.
Whatever you present to in writing will go.
Okay. So some of them I mentioned last time, and there's a few other ones. And the question I have got here, I'm going to leave that aside and change it to a different question, which is, when the motion comes up for consideration in this meeting, and councillors vote on this motion that was has to be considered because it was presented by me at the AGM and passed. Do councillors have the option to vote no to the recommendation? Because I have been told that councillors have no choice but to vote yes. And if that is the case...
I'm not sure who told you that, Ms Clare, but that is obviously absolutely untrue.
So I can expect that people will have the option to vote according to their conscience and their heart.
We are nine independent councillors. I'm not sure where you got the understanding that we didn't vote according to our conscience.
Well, I will just say it's an understanding by some of your councillors. And
that's a conversation I perhaps should have with them. But your time's running out, so if you want to
So I'll just skip to the last part of the question, and I hope that won't be regarded as one of my questions, because that was more of a procedural matter. So I'd just like to say this. If it's the case that it's too difficult and too costly to move the three items, I suggest you consider removing them from the plan altogether. This would be preferable to creating a dangerous space that is likely to be underutilised, expensive to maintain, and may attract an undesirable element. It would also save the most open and unobstructed section of the walking track, not only for the enjoyment of those who walk along it and those who view it from the river, but because it is one of the jewels in the crown of Devonport's natural beauty, which should be respected and preserved. So my question is, if the council will not move the three items, toilet block, barbecue area and playground, due to the cost, will the council consider removing them from the plan? That would, at the same time, presumably save some money.
Obviously, the question is already being discussed later in the agenda, so I will just take that as a comment. Thank you.
And I'd just like to make a few points in relation to the idea of moving the
I'm sorry, Ms Clare, but your time's up. Thank you. You have the option of, another question at the end if we don't run out of time. Thank you.
I would just like to show everyone these photos, which I rang today and asked if they could be put on the screen so that everyone could
see. Ms Clare?
And the answer was no.
This is question time, not a presentation. Thank you, Ms Clare. Mr Vellacott?
Bob Vellacott, ratepayer, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Firstly, Mayor, thank you for supporting my notice of motion at the annual general meeting about openness and transparency. I'm pretty sure that you did vote in favour of that going forward. Mayor and councillors, preamble to my question. Simple calculations based on the Auditor General's report of the Parran Apple Centre building, cost being $45,600,000, not including the cost of land, as I understand. Also, the assessed area of the building being 43% purchased by the state government for $13 million, this reveals that the state government has been subsidised by ratepayers for some $6,600,000, or in round figures, with other costs approximately $7 million. I worked that out on a business card. I didn't need a beer coaster. In other words, it looks like the Deputy Premier, the Honourable Jeremy Rockliffe, as the responsible minister who signed the 2016 development agreement on behalf of the state government, paid $13 million to the Devonport Council with one hand, but has taken over part of the building worth $19 million, $600,000 with the other. Obviously a good sleight of hand and a great deal for the Tasmanian government. It is questionable whether the state government should have taken advantage of what appears to have been our former Mayor Martin's, councillors and senior management's at the time, lack of experience in dealing with such complex matters. One could say it looks like the Deputy Premier let the people of Devonport down, or to use the good old Aussie lingo, he pulled a swifty and we were all taken for a ride. There is, however, an opportunity to rectify the imbalance. simply if Council, along with the support of Councillor Perry, who I understand is one of the Premier's advisers, and if you're all fair dinkum in looking after ratepayers' best interests, you will, as requested in my question, make representation on behalf of the ratepayers and ask the government to pay a fair price for the 43% of the Perenapple building and land from the Northern City's Major Development Initiative. Question, Mayor and Councillors, because the Tasmanian State Government has taken advantage of Council in regard to the sale of part of the Perenapple Centre to an estimated discount of some $6,600,000, will Council make representation on behalf of the ratepayers to the State Government to make good the stated amount? Note, the Premier is on record, the Advocate, December 2015, as saying the Government was prepared.
Mr. Vellacott, your time's up. Thank you. You've asked your question and I will take it on notice. However, I suggest if you have an issue with Mr. Rockliffe, you should take it up with Deputy Premier Rockliffe. Thank you.
So I take it you're not going to make any representation
that we've been diddled, okay? I will respond to you in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll reserve my right for another question. Thank you.
Are there anyone else who hasn't asked a question who wants to ask a question?
Tony Butler, 2 Drew Street, East Devonport, ratepayer. It's not about Bass Street, I can tell you. But as we drive off, people come off our ships and drive into Devonport, what have they got to look at? You come across the bridge and you look up on the left and all you see is a few advertising signs and the grass is higher than me. It's a shambles and it's disgusting. I had some people here from Queensland, they said if that was at Queensland where their main start was, they'd drive somewhere else.
Can you just clarify, are you talking about coming onto the bridge?
Yeah, coming back onto the bridge, bridge under the underpass.
Okay, we certainly have... It's actually a state government area and we have constant conversations with them about ways that we want to improve it. So we certainly don't disagree with you. Thank you.
Thank you. The other thing is garbage cans around parks and everything. I don't think it's probably got a lot to do with the council, but could somebody tell me who cleans them? You know, when you go over to put some rubbish in, when you see kids putting rubbish in and there's spew and stuff coming out of them and they're all full, and you can walk around every day, you can go out and have a look at them in the mall after they've been emptied. The parts that should be cleaned, I believe, is where your arms and that go in.
Thank you. We'll take that on notice. Thank you.
Rodney Russell, 225 Steele Street, Devonport. The AGM, I noted that the Mayor at least twice tried to hurry up the meeting. Any reason why?
Other than an annual general meeting shouldn't really take an hour and a half, Mr. thank you. I'm speaking. Thank you.
Sorry, 5 hours.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who haven't asked a question who would like to ask a question? No? Mr. Mills, I'm back to you.
I think the Acting General Manager made a few comments after my two questions. I'm sorry I missed them. But my questions are very serious and I, with respect, would ask you to take them seriously too.
We absolutely did, Mr. Mills, and I think the response was that we will respond to you in writing.
Oh, all right then.
Thank you.
This is a very brief question. I'm talking about the increased runoff of heavy rain from an elevated block onto a de-treed landslip zone. So given that this increased rainfall runoff will speed up soil erosion on the landslip slope, then surely Council is responsible to install a land drain, otherwise known as an interceptor drain, along the 30-metre length of Lot 3's northern boundary to divert water runoff from the now treeless top of the landslip zone. Thank you.
Thank you. We will respond in writing. Mr. Gardam.
In the Christmas season we are, but it's regrettable that to find it necessary to express absolute bewilderment and disgust at how the Mayor abruptly closed the annual general meeting in full knowledge that there were those in the gallery wishing to raise further matters from the floor. It is even more disgusting that the meeting had just immediately before unanimously passed a motion that Council commit to good governance principle, including responsive, participatory, inclusive and consensus orientated. The audio recording indicates at 1 hour, 23 minutes, 15 seconds, Mayor Rockliffe. That being said, I will close. Bob Vellacott in the background from the gallery. I have a further motion. Mayor Rockliffe. No, Mr. Vellacott, I'm sorry. I'll close the meeting. Thank you. Bob Vellacott in the background from the gallery. I ask for a procedural motion. Mayor Rockliffe at 6:24. The meeting is... So endeth the recording. Accordingly, my question to the Mayor is what specific meeting rules and authority do you to rely on to close the annual general meeting, a meeting of electors chaired by the Mayor and not an ordinary council meeting, while not providing the decency of gauging the meeting of any further business, refusing to accept a point of order or a procedural motion, and openly ignoring that at least one further ratepayer motion from the floor was flagged? I'd like to know what meeting rules we operate with at the Devonport City Council in terms of the AGM.
Thank you, Mr. Gardam. My understanding of the AGM is that the matters that are raised should be raised on notice and publicly declared, similar to Mr. Vellacott's motion that he did raise, and everyone else had the opportunity to raise as well. I took the opinion, and I was my decision, and I take full responsibility for that, that everyone had had an opportunity, and that that was...
I also had a motion I wish to put, but I take your point about notice on motion. I just didn't have time previously, but I would be most appreciative if you can point me to the meeting rules that gave you the power without actually canvassing the meeting of electors at an AGM as to whether there was any further business, and then gauge the business that was coming forward, whether you would accept
right,
that or
I'll
not.
I'll take that in on notice and respond to you. However, it's my belief that as the Chair, I had that responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you. And Merry Christmas, everyone.
Ms. Clare, you have 1 minute.
Once again, I've got a few points here, but I'll just pick out one. One of the things that I think is very dangerous about this playground area...
You have 1 minute to ask your question, Ms. Clare.
And I think it's the river itself. I believe it's an unknown quantity for many people. Tourists are especially at risk, as they cannot be expected to know what even some local people do not know. I refer to the danger from the wash of passing ships. We can be lulled into a false sense of security regarding this danger, as it is not there all the time, and some people have never seen it. Factors such as the speed at which ships are travelling and the state of the tide cause huge variations, and the really dangerous wash rarely occurs. But we only need look at the excellent fencing and the signage at Muscle Rock, placed there by the council, to know that the wash is dangerous. The sign is there that tells you that. The council is also to be commended for the installation of the life buoys at the two points on the bluff. So putting all these factors together, I believe there are significant concerns that the playground is dangerous. And it's highly likely that a fence will need to be built. The possibility of this could be done was established by Councillor Jarman last week. It is likely that large warning signs would also be needed and a prominent site for a life buoy such as has been installed at the bluff. And all these things will detract from the area. As councillors, you are the custodians of Devonport. The people of Devonport have voted for you so that you can represent their interests. You are in control of Living City. Living City does not control you. I urge you to examine your heart and your conscience and to ask yourselves the question, will you vote to ensure, and this is my question, will you vote to ensure the safety of the children of Devonport? And that would require voting no to the recommendation when it comes up later in the meeting. Thank you.
And as you've already pointed out, there is a notice, there is a motion, a report later in the meeting that we will deal with that. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. That brings question time to a close. Item 4.0 is planning authority matters. There are no items on this agenda, so we'll move on to item 5.0, which is reports. And item 5.1 is a tender report for contract C20245, bus stop works. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you, Councillor Milbourne. Councillor Laycock. Councillor Milbourne.
Nothing too much to add. It's the state government's state growth's money, so we'll happily spend it on our infrastructure. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Laycock.
Only that it needs to be done and we can now move forward. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair, to Matthew probably. I don't suppose we could include the bus shelter that we've been working on for the last 4 years in this, or is it only via the state government of what they want? We've been looking at getting a bus stop for years down the Sheffield Road.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Yeah, look, the funding's restricted to the changes to align with the changes in the bus timetables that are coming into effect next year. So I don't think that's possible, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis, you have your light on? Thank you. Councillor Milbourne to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. Item 5.2 is unconfirmed minutes of the annual general meeting. And I guess just a reminder that this isn't actually confirming those minutes. It's simply a report on what arose from those minutes and a recommendation. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please? Councillor Hollister.
Second.
Councillor Ennis, thank you. Councillor Hollister.
No, it's all in the report. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Ennis.
Excuse me, could I just ask a brief question in regards to Councillor Murphy happened to go out. Some of those, surely, he hasn't got an interest in surely all of those motions.
It's his choice, Mr. Bellicott. It's his choice. Thank you.
Nothing further.
Thank you, Councillor Ennis. Councillor Jarman.
Thank you. So just my question is, so we're voting just on the report, we're not voting on the recommendations by the officer's comments?
We're voting on the recommendation on page 19 as it sits.
So when do we get to vote on these different items then?
Well, then they'll be brought, the review will be brought to.
No, I'm a bit confused because I thought we were, these are things that went through at the AGM. Now those are then meant to be considered at the next meeting. I'm reading the Act right now. A motion passed at annual general meeting is to be considered at the next meeting of the council. So we're not looking at these separately. We're just taking that as a whole report and voting. Shouldn't it be all separate?
Just, okay.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, the motion, or the recommendation, sorry, is worded in a way to address those four motions. It says that council note the minutes and consider the motions. So by reviewing the report are considering those motions, and the recommended actions in response to those motions are those two points. But it's certainly within the rights of any...
Shut up, Bob.
It's certainly within the rights of any councillors should they wish to amend that recommendation or move something separate. Our recommendation there picks up on the
on the ones that you've allowed?
Two that were very similar, yes. And our other advice around the waterfront park was to take no further action.
All right, so could I suggest, depending on my fellow councillors, how they feel about it, that we allow Miss Clare to come to one of our workshops so we can explain to her where we're at and what's going on? You know, she's very enthusiastic. She's very passionate about what she believes in. She's had a petition just recently, and I just think it's kind of a moot point of what she's trying to do, and I appreciate her. And I think we owe it to her to at least either organise a meeting with you, Matthew, or come to a workshop and do a presentation and let us allow her to talk to her about it. I think it's the only right thing to do.
I'm happy to meet with Miss Clare in the new year. That's absolutely fine.
Could we do that then?
Yeah, we can do that. That's absolutely fine.
So can we put that into the minutes?
If you, the mover and the seconder are happy.
If the mover and seconder.
Not necessary.
So you don't agree?
I agree, but it's not necessary. Oh. Put it in the minutes.
Are you the mover then?
The mayor's already said. I do. The mayor's already said that it's...
But you're the mover, she's asking you.
Yes, I'm just saying it's not necessary. Okay. The mayor's already agreed to it.
I'm confused.
Okay, so the recommendation is as it sits. Unless you want to move an amendment, I've agreed that I will organise that meeting.
Thank you.
I don't think it needs to be in the minutes, but if you want to move an amendment to suggest that...
No, then don't worry about it.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Did you have something else, Councillor John? Councillor Hollister to close.
I believe this motion will result in some workshops in some of these issues, so I can't think I could come up tonight. So nothing further to add.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lunson. Thank you. Item 5.3 is the Corporate Climate Change Adaptation Plan, Year 1 status.
So moved.
Councillor Jarman.
Seconded.
Councillor Hollister. Councillor Jarman.
I think this is very important. I think this is a very divisive thing that we're doing. I think it's wonderful. It just shows that some councils are forward moving. We're agreeing that there is climate change. This is our adaptation plan for that reason. And I think it's very important that we take this seriously and certainly work on it as we go moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hollister?
Yes, I believe that we definitely are having climate change, and I think these workshops on this will probably show some of the things that need to be done around Devonport, especially from a fire safety point of view. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye. Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 5.4, unconfirmed minutes of the audit panel of the 18th of November. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Murphy. Seconder.
I'll second.
Councillor Perry. Councillor Murphy.
Merely procedural.
Thank you. Councillor Perry.
Agree. Nothing further.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.0 is information. 6.1, workshops and briefing sessions held since the last council meeting. Do I have a mover of the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Councillor Perry.
I'll second.
Councillor Milbourne just got in, I think. Councillor Perry.
An accurate summary of what we've done since the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne.
We've had some really good workshops to discuss things, and that's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2 is the Mayor's Monthly Report. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Councillor Murphy.
Happy to second.
Councillor Alexio. Councillor Murphy.
In the words of a former alderman, yes, you've been very busy, Mayor. Well done.
Councillor Alexio.
Yeah, very busy time for you, Madam Mayor. Well done. Good job.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Councillor Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I noticed that, and I did attend, but I want to thank you for your input and hard work in getting the ALGA, which is the Australian Local Government Women's Association of Tasmania, event to celebrate 100 years of since the first woman was elected to local government. This was held at Home Hill. It gave Home Hill and, of course, Devonport a most wonderful opportunity to showcase what a great premise this is. And I think a lot of us were quite surprised that people didn't know that we had the home of Tasmania's only Prime Minister right here in Devonport. And secondly, all the history and the stories about the Lyons family. So well done, Mayor, on encouraging your team to use Home Hill. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Murphy to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's Report for December. Do I have a mover?
So please? Moved.
Councillor Jarman. Second. Thank you, Councillor Innes. Councillor Jarman.
No, it's all there. Thank you very much. Well done.
Thank you, Councillor Innes.
Nothing further.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Jarman to close.
Well, I consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.1, Section 23 Committee, 7.1, Planning Authority Committee meeting of the 2nd of December. Do I have a mover, please?
I move.
Councillor Hollister?
I'll second.
Councillor Milbourne? Councillor Hollister?
The planning things that we consider are in the recommendation. Nothing further to add.
Thank you. Councillor Milbourne?
Nothing further.
Any comments, questions? Councillor Hollister to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.2 is the Infrastructure Works and Development Committee meeting minutes of the 9th of December. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
You do, Mayor. Thank you.
Councillor Jarman, Councillor Laycock. Councillor Jarman.
It's all there. Thank you.
Councillor Laycock.
Nothing to add.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Hollister, you have your light on.
Oh.
No? Thank you. Councillor Jarman to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. I now need a motion to move into closed session, please.
So moved.
Councillor Laycock.
Second.
Councillor Murphy. Any discussion? No? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. I declare the open section of this meeting closed at 6:18. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.